I'm a grateful believer in Jesus who struggles with codependency, and my name is Christina. All right, I was born in Long Beach, California in 1976. I am the oldest of eight siblings. My sister was born 11 months after me, and she would become my best friend. I don't remember a time that my dad and mom lived together in the same house. He was always doing his own thing, and she was always working. I do not know when exactly their marriage fell apart. I would say from the beginning, but for whatever reason, they still tried to make it work. I don't remember spending time with them together as a family. I don't remember family dinners gathered around the table, attending school functions, holidays, or family trips. It was just something we did not do. Growing up, my dad was in and out of jail. I remember living with my mom, my aunt, my grandma, and even once with a foster family. My dad would eventually come home to wherever that was, and we would move back in with him. The number of schools I attended was too many to count. It was hard to catch up on schoolwork, and nothing was ever consistent. I always wondered why I had to live with my aunt or grandma when my dad would go away, and my dad would tell me that my mom just didn't know how to be a mom. I never understood this, but now that I have a relationship with her, and she talks to me about things, I can see how difficult it was for her. This caused a lot of pain for me as I grew up. I needed a mother to walk me through all the things girls need a mom for. I would struggle with the effects of emotional neglect as well as abandonment issues from the time I was little. This would play out in every relationship I would have. My brother was born 6 years after me. During these early years, I moved around a lot, never feeling like I belonged anywhere. My favorite place to be was living with my dad when he was home. My sister and brother were with me, and that was all that mattered. Our home did not function like a normal home. My dad was a heroin addict, and so as you can imagine, there was a lot of neglect there as well. He tried to take care of us the best way he could, but he could not stop using. My dad was a hard man. Growing up the way he did meant that he did not take crap from anyone. This is how he expected us to be too. My dad was physically, emotionally, and mentally abusive to my brother, which caused a lot of pain for me as well. As a child myself, I had no way to protect him. I just remember always feeling consumed with what was going to happen next. Was my brother going to get in trouble today? Did my brother do something he was not supposed to? How is my dad going to react? What is my dad doing to him? This would carry on to my own children. I was always on high alert. Whenever one of them were out of my sight, I would think, what is happening to them? Are they okay? Is someone hurting them? I was hypervigilant and as an adult, exhausted all the time. Living with my dad meant that I got away with a lot of things. I never had to do anything like chores, homework, attend school on a regular basis, and so forth. My dad was always wanted by the police, which caused a lot of anxiety in my life. Anytime a police car would get behind us, he would tell us if he got pulled over, to lie and give them a false name. I remember praying that he didn't get pulled over and thinking that if anything happened to him, it would be my fault because I hated lying. He taught us how to lie about everything to everyone. These situations caused a lot of anxiety and stress for me. I dealt with PTSD as an adult anytime a police officer would get behind me while I was driving. One time when I was living with my dad, our house got raided. My sister, my dad, and I were walking back to the house from the store across the street. It was dark outside and quiet. I remember thinking how happy I was. My cousins were over, and I got to play with them. Everything was going good. We went to the store to grab something for dinner. On our way back, as we approached the door, all I remember is an arm reaching out to grab him and pull him in. There were five other police officers in the living room. My uncle was on the ground in handcuffs. My brother and younger sister were on the couch with my cousins. And all I kept hearing in the background is a police officer telling my dad he should just shoot him so they did not have to waste their time chasing him anymore. I honestly thought that he had the right to do that if he wanted to. I was the oldest and 10 years old at the time. I had to hold it together. I had to comfort my sister who was 2. This was how my life was. One minute everything was great and the next minute everything was in chaos. One minute my dad was there and the next minute he was gone for months. One minute I was at one school, the next minute I was enrolling at another school. I was never able to make friends because I moved around so much. I was always full of anxiety. There was no stability. Everything was out of control all the time. During my years with my dad, I would see him run from the police. I would see my uncle overdose on heroin. I would see my dad's drug paraphernalia in his closet. At a very young age, I knew way too much and had seen too much to live a normal life. My high school years were the same, and I would start down the path of drug abuse as well. By the time I was 16, I had started drinking off and on. I was 17 when I started smoking weed, and my dad thought it would be a good idea that I did it at home, so I wasn't out on the street or getting caught by police. My dad would get drugs from my friends, sell my stuff to support his own drug habits, and manipulate me into doing things for him. One time when I came home from school, there was this guy at the house. When I walked in, he asked my dad who I was, and my dad told him. The story I heard was that this guy offered my dad drugs to take me out. When my dad approached me about it, he made it sound like it was no big deal. I trusted him, but my dad would use anyone to get what he wanted. I ended up going on this date and eventually living with this guy. He was controlling, and when we broke up, ended up stalking me and physically beating up anyone who talked to me. I would start using heavier drugs like meth off and on for the next 20 years. By the time I was 18, I was kicked out of my house for not coming home one night. My dad and his new girlfriend told me my stuff was at the curb and not to come back. At this point, I was living with anyone who would let me stay at their house or in their hotel room, using meth daily and hanging with a whole new crowd. At the age of 20, I would end up pregnant from a man who was 33 years older than me. He was 53 at the time. I had a boyfriend in jail and was living out on the streets. The moment I found out I was pregnant, I moved into my mom's house and stayed clean. My daughter was an answer to prayer. After she turned one, I started working and tried getting my life together. By this time, I was already with someone new. My daughter was a year old when I got pregnant again. I was so scared of what my mom would say, and I did not want to raise another child alone, so I ended up having my first abortion. This was against everything I believed in. That same year, I would meet my husband, Tony. Tony and I went on our first date, August 14th, 1999. By the following spring, I was pregnant again. My daughter was two. I thought that if I told him I was pregnant, he would leave me. So after talking to him, I made the decision to have another abortion. Again, this is not who I am. This is not what God created me for. But I was so scared of him leaving me, of him not being there for us, that I made decisions that would cause us hurt and many years of it. When I met Tony, I had no idea that he struggled with the same drug I was now clean from. So when the time came that he told me about his addiction, my response was, even though I had been clean for a couple years, had a job, and was raising a beautiful little girl, I would just join him and start using again. That was my drug of choice, and it was hard for me to walk away from it. My self-esteem suffered as a child, and I wanted to do anything and everything to fit in and to be accepted and keep people in my life. My self-worth was damaged, and I functioned from this damaged place. We would use together off and on for years. Addiction was the cycle. 4 years after we met, we got married. Our relationship was dysfunctional from the beginning. I was violent toward him and did everything I saw my dad do. My dad would physically abuse women he was with, and so I thought I had the right to do that too. I was mean, full of anger and hatred. 3 years after we got married, we had our second daughter. I would stop using long enough to get through the pregnancy and then start up again. It was around this time that my husband asked me to have a sexual relationship with him and his best friend. I knew it was the wrong thing to do. I knew Bible verses that told me not to do these things, but the rejected, codependent, damaged little girl inside me decided that if I said no, this would be the reason he would leave me. This was 7 years into our relationship, and I still thought any minute he would walk out. I said yes, and once it happened, it changed the way I saw my marriage. In my eyes, it did not matter now if I slept with this person or someone else, and so the infidelity began. This relationship with his friend would carry on for years. We would eventually move to Las Vegas, where this friend and his family lived. That same year, my dad told me he was sick and was going to need a transplant due to him having cirrhosis. This was devastating news to me. My marriage was falling apart. I was struggling with postpartum depression. And now, as a stay-at-home mom, I had to deal with my dad dying. I did not know how to handle it all, and so running around with my friends, not coming home at night, sleeping with other guys, and drinking was how I coped with it. My dad would end up having the transplant, but would still pass away a year later. We moved a month after his funeral to Las Vegas, and the addiction would continue. I was tired of the way I was living. I was crying out to Jesus to rescue me, to change our lives around, because I did not want to keep doing these things. I was tired of the drugs. I was tired of having this affair with my husband and his friend. And I was tired of the anger and explosive way I would act out towards my oldest daughter. This was not the life I wanted to live, but I was dependent on my husband, and whatever he would do, I would do too. This is exactly why I told him about Celebrate Recovery in the first place. I was hoping he would make the changes we needed. God is incredible. He is loving and shows up in ways I would never imagine. But as it happens, or as I look back, I know it was him moving in my life. God did not use Tony to change our lives around. He used my childhood, the one thing that brought up the most pain for me. It was in 2009 when we would have our youngest daughter. By then, we were not using drugs as often. However, the chaos and cycle of dysfunction were still happening. I was still having this affair with my husband and his friend, still hiding it from his friend's wife, and still fighting all the time with my husband. If Tony was not mad at me or fighting with me, I thought something was wrong. I would fight with him and start stuff, and he would tell me, "All you want to do is fight." Of course, I denied it. But in 2010, I couldn't deny the fact that I was out of control with my life. Hitting rock bottom for me wasn't something that happened in a bar or in a jail cell or even getting caught cheating. What took me into recovery was an incident that happened one night when my husband was sleeping in our daughter's bedroom. Our daughter was 4 at the time and went into her room to look for something. This made him mad, and he yelled at her for doing this, and she came to me crying. The fear in her eyes took me back to my brother when he was that age and being abused by my dad. And so I jumped out of bed and completely lost it. I stormed into the room yelling at him and then turned around to walk out, slamming the door behind me. As the door was closing, I saw him get out of bed, and so being a few steps ahead of him, grabbed the toy airplane that was on the floor at the end of the hallway. As he came out after me, I turned around and threw it right at his face. His nose broke and as blood came pouring out, he dropped to his knees to stop it from splattering on the walls. I knew at that moment that I needed help. What I was reacting to was not him or my daughter, but pain that was deep down from my childhood. I left the house and drove to the store to get ice packs. I cried out to Jesus because I didn't understand why I was doing the things I didn't want to do. In Romans 7, 18 through 20, Paul says, "For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it." Step one says we admitted we were powerless over our addictions and compulsive behaviors and that our lives had become unmanageable. The church our family was attending had a Celebrate Recovery ministry in it. This meeting happened on Friday night. The night I broke my husband's nose was a Wednesday night, and by Friday, I was sitting in the back of large group. I never would have thought that I would end up there. I thought, just like everyone else, this group was for alcohol and drug addiction. That was not me. I was not drinking or abusing drugs like before. I was there because I had nowhere else to go. The following week, I started my first step study. Step study was held on Tuesday nights. For the next year, this was my week. This was the hardest year of my life. Stepping out of denial was difficult. I kept everything stuffed down, ignored it, or justified it in some way, that when I came face to face with my hurts, habits, and hang-ups, it felt like it was not even real, like the life I lived my whole life was a lie. Principle 2 says, earnestly believe that God exists, that I matter to him, and that he has the power to help me recover. To believe and work this step, I had to get real with my relationship with God. I decided that I was going to read my Bible for the first time from front to back. I wanted to know who God was. My prayer at this time was, "Lord, I want to know you. I want to be in an intimate relationship with you. The relationship Jesus and I now share is truly a blessing to me. What God did through Step Study completely changed my life. I no longer depended on my own way of dealing with loss or pain from childhood trauma. Jesus showed me mercy and grace during this time. He let me know that nothing I did or have done could ever separate me from his love. I realized that through Celebrate Recovery, I was broken and living in a broken world. My flesh cried out for one thing and my spirit cried out for another. Yes, I was a Christian, and yes, I needed Jesus more than ever. I failed and fell into sin constantly, but working the steps and Celebrate Recovery showed me a new way. It took me a while to forgive myself for the pain and trauma I put my family through. I was ashamed of the things I did to my husband and my children and dealt with the guilt of that for a while into recovery. One of my favorite steps is step 4, which says we made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. I realized while working this step that everything I ever dealt with as a child was coming out in other ways as an adult. The cycles of abuse, addiction, and infidelity were all things that caused me pain as a child and were sadly all the things I was doing as an adult. I spent a lot of years living in denial and do not want to waste another day there. If I examine my ways daily, I can give it to God, change it, and make amends if necessary. I can live in a healthy place and teach that to my children. The benefits of being part of a Celebrate Recovery is that God has restored my marriage in a big way. My husband and I celebrate 11 years free from drugs. I celebrate 11 years of faithfulness to him, and I also celebrate 11 years of not being physically abusive towards him. Our marriage is stronger than it has ever been. God has taught me how to be in a relationship with myself that is loving and kind. The areas of my life I once expected my husband to fulfill are no longer met by him, but by God. There was a time during recovery that my husband had to work out of town. This went on for a few years, but God held us together. We were on solid foundation in a trusting relationship, and as I worked on myself, there was so much growth and peace in our lives. God is a reason. I can't do it alone, and neither can my husband, but with God, we can do anything. The relationship with my oldest is not chaotic like it once was. I would yell at her for any reason, ground her because I was angry inside, and misuse the trust she had in me as her mom. Since recovery, God has given me a second chance with her. We are closer than ever, and now she is married, has the cutest little boy who's the joy of my life, and a little girl who I absolutely adore. My walk with God has been the most important relationship of my life. Prior to recovery, I knew God. I loved God, but I knew him from a distance. Going to church and praying was all I did. I did not know how to connect deeper with him. That first year of recovery, when I was going through the Bible, I held on to every word, every chapter, feeding my soul with his very truths. I learned so much about who God is and how much he loves me. He loves me unconditionally. He pursues me, even though I do not deserve his time or energy. He forgives me and remembers my sins no more. He knows what I have done, what I am doing now, and what I will do tomorrow, and still loves me. I am so thankful for Celebrate Recovery. It had given me hope when I had so little. It had given me a safe place to talk about my hurts, habits, and hang-ups. Step Study is where I began to step out of years of denial and face the hard truths of my past. It was the hardest year of my life, but one that brought so much healing and freedom. I would not change it for a thing. Without working my steps, I would not be where I am today. To the newcomer, I encourage you to keep coming back, to dig into your recovery for yourself because you are worth it. You are here for a reason. You matter to God, you matter to others. Attend a Step Study, get involved. In Jeremiah 29:11, in the Message translation, God says, I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, not abandon you. Plans to give you the future you hope for. Recovery is about healing, overcoming, victory, and God. To those who have a story like mine, who have childhood trauma, I know what God can do. Far more than we ever imagined. In Ephesians 3:20, it says, Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. He can do more with our brokenness than we ever imagined. I encourage you to trust him, to go to him with your pain, your past, and your recovery. He wants to heal those broken places. God never intended for us to get hurt. He wants to make us whole again. My husband and I are the ministry leaders for Celebrate Recovery at Southlake. My hope is that people come find a safe place to heal and grow in their relationship with God and others. Thank you for letting me share.